Good morning. Happy Sabbath. The scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 3, verses 7 through 9. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and bring them up out of the land unto the good land, and enlarge upon the land of flowing with milk and honey. And the place of Canaan, the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hittites and the Jebusites. Now therefore behold the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I also have seen the oppression with in the Egyptian upon oppressed them. Thank God that he's coming for us soon too. So God may the blessing of the word. Amen.
Well, good morning, everyone. This is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad. God is very good. Miss Vivian, I do have to say, there's words to live by, and one of them was never make the musicians at church angry. So when they tell you no means no, and that's and that's okay. Life will go much better that way. I just was pondering. I've been listening to, actually, Alan had inspired me because it was a secondhand story about Alan. Isn't that cool? That I'd heard that Alan was listening to the Bible in the truck when he's driving. I thought, what a great idea. So I started reading. So I was working at 84 Lumber at the time, and I was on a forklift all day long, so I got a pair of earbuds, and I thought, you know what, instead of listening to the junk or this forklift going in my ear all day, I got a set of earbuds, and I started listening to the Bible, and I've been listening to some of the Spirit of Prophecy books. And so now that I'm at a different job, I can't do it as much, but I still do. Whenever I'm out on the road, I can still listen to these things. And I was listening to the story of Exodus, and I just thought to myself, wow. How remarkably similar. I mean, it's one of those kind of like duh moments, you know, where you think. there's a story when Christy and I were first going to church and together, and I started reading the Bible. I said, okay, I'm going to read the Bible through once just so I know what these guys are talking about. And I got somewhere to about the book of Jeremiah, and that's when I kind of realized that God was speaking to me. So I told my wife, hey, Chris, God is speaking. It's like God is speaking to me through the pages. She's like, duh, it took you how many pages to figure that out? So we're a little thick-headed sometimes. So with that, let's before we go any further, let's have prayer. Oh, Father, glorious and wonderful is your name. Please be the speaker today. Father, please let your scriptures come alive. And may we see a glimpse of you, and may I be lost in all of that. I don't need any part of that. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So I was looking at the book of Exodus, and I was thinking about how remarkably similar it is. So that's like on the first beginning part of your Bible here. If you go back to the other part of your Bible, that's where the Revelation is, and that's kind of a remarkably similar story being told. One, there's a scripture that I keep bringing back, John. You don't know what it is? You know what it is, John?
Yes,
10:11. Yeah, now all these things happen unto them as examples. They were written for our admonition until the end of the ages have come. And the Apostle Paul is talking to us, telling us that all these things that happened in the Old Testament are telling a story of what God is going to do again. And somehow, this is one of the keys to understanding scripture, that God gave us these stories, but real people, real lives, and real situations, and how they reacted was going to tell, or able to tell a story on what's going to happen at the end of time. And the only way that's even possible is as God's same Holy Spirit was working on those people, and he's speaking to the same people today, and that's the only way that any of this stuff would work out. It's magnificent. So, our message today, it starts in Exodus chapter 3. So here we have Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro and his father-in-law. So what was happening with Moses? Moses had been raised up in the house of Pharaoh. Moses had been prepared to lead the people. In fact, some say that he was even in line to become the Pharaoh. And then, so through his decision to follow God instead of the way of the Egyptians, life got in the way, and in the process of things, he ended up fleeing from there. He ended up staying with this fleeing as far as he could go, all the way over to the land of Midian, where he met a wife, and for 40 years he had been tending sheep. That was his life. He's like, okay, so where do I do? Where do I go from here? I guess this is my life now. I had a good start in Egypt, but now I'm just going to tend sheep the rest of my life. And God stepped in and said, I got a plan for you. God stepped in and said, I got a plan for you. So anybody here who thinks that God is not working with you or that God doesn't have any more plans for you, guess what? You might be just wrong about that. So here he is, Moses, tending the sheep. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led that was the other thing. Not only did Moses flee from his homeland of Egypt, he went over there and just thought his life was over, but he would learn at the feet of the high priest the ways of Jehovah. He learned about the true religion of God. Okay, so his father-in-law, the high priest of Midian, he led the flock to the backside of the desert, and he came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared. Now, Mount Horeb, by the way, is Mount Sinai is where God spoke the Ten Commandments. Mount Horeb is like the backside of that mountain. It's all part of that same chain. It was in that same area that God would speak to them. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. So Moses, just minding his own business, thought maybe his life was over, this is how life was going to be. All of a sudden, he comes across a bush burning in the desert that wasn't consumed, and he's like, maybe I should go check this out. This is how God reached out to him. It's pretty cool. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. He said, draw not near hither. Put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place where thou standest is on holy ground. God was speaking from a burning shrub. And then not only that, he says, take off your shoes, for you're standing on holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. This all had meaning to it because all their religion had filtered down through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's where Jethro came from. Jethro was one of the descendants of those generations. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And God does something very cool. So Moses, now think about where he had come from, Egypt. Think about what he had seen. He had seen his people enslaved, and he fled there and he had been gone for 40 years. And so what Moses was doing, learning during those time was patience. Moses was learning how to deal with creatures that are dumb, dirty, and stupid. Sheep are dumb. Sheep are horrible creatures. But in that process, God was using him not only to humble him, teach him, for what the ministry was yet to come. So what if you're going through some troubles or trials or whatever it is that you're facing right now, don't think that God has left you or he has abandoned you. He might just be training you for something that's yet to come. Verse 7, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. For I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, to bring them up in the land of good land and a large land, unto a land flowing of milk and honey, into the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. There you go, Solomon. Now, therefore, behold, and I just love this. Verse 9, it sums up what God, what Moses' mission was going to be. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of me of the children of Israel have come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Moses says, well, who am I? Who am I? Really, God? Don't you know my story? Don't you know where? They're not really happy with me right at this moment. And he said, certainly I will be with thee. And this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. Where thou hast brought the forth people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this holy mountain. God made a promise to Moses at this point. He says, they're standing at near Mount Sinai. He says, when you come back here with all these people, then you will know for a fact that I have sent you to go do this mission. I have heard my cry. So all the things that you've watched in the news today, all the things that you've heard about today that were bad in the news and the stuff that's going on in the world, God hears those cries. He has heard that cry of affliction, and he's going to deliver his people. And we have to stay faithful to that message, with that mission, that God knows what's going on, and he's going to make this right at some point. So the story goes on a little bit. And Moses said to God, behold, when I come to the children of Israel, and they shall say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, they shall say to me, what is his name, and what shall I say to them? And verse 14 tells us, and God said to Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. This is the very same I am that was Jesus declared himself to be at John chapter 8. This is your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, for he saw it and was glad. Then he said, you're not 50 years old. How can you see the day of Abraham? And then says, thou art not yet 50 years. And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. So they pick up stones, ready to stone Jesus. Jesus declared himself to be the one who spoke to Moses from the burning bush. He declared himself to be the one who stood on Mount Sinai and gave the Ten Commandments. So what you're seeing here is a type. The Bible is full of these things where types meets anti-type, where Jesus is, where Moses was sent to go out and deliver his people. Jesus was sent out to go out and to deliver his people. So let's, and for the sake of time here, I mean, this Exodus story goes on for like 14 chapters. I don't think we want to read them all today. But I would highly encourage that you do. God is awesome, just flat out awesome. Exodus 4:29-31. So by faith, these guys, they set out. There's a long conversation there about Aaron getting putting into the mix there. Moses is like, well, you know, I don't speak very good, and you sure you want me to do this? And he said, and God got a little angry. He says, look, I will give you your brother. Your brother will be the mouthpiece. I will be the one who, you commune with me, you tell your brother, and your brother will be the high priest over the people. He'll be the one who speaks the message of the word. 29. And Moses and Aaron went together, all the elders of the children of Israel. And Aaron spoke all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses, and did signs in the sight of the people. And the people believed, and they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, and that he had looked upon their affliction. Then they bowed their heads and they worshipped. They were given a message of hope. See, the children of Israel were perfectly happy to live in slavery in the land of Egypt, so long as they didn't have any hope. And so here these two guys come along saying, God has come. He wants to deliver you. He wants to take you out of this mess. And the people were like, sign me up. I want out of here. Have you had enough? How long do we want to live in this world with all the sin and the nastiness that's going on in the world today? God has heard your plea, And he is going to send a deliverer, and he's going to take us out of this mess. Amen. Isn't that awesome? And this message carries on. And afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh. Then that took a lot of courage. Moses, just probably trembling at this point, thinking, oh my word, I don't know what's going to happen to me. I'm going to become... Are you sure, God? Because what happened here before. I was sent here, to kicked out of here, never supposed to return to Egypt ever again. And here I am, I'm going to go in the counts of Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go. It's a little bold, don't you think? But when God is behind you and you have a mission to do, it is not our place to stand down, or there's no place to be afraid. God will fully back everything that you do. Thus said the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me until the wilderness. And Pharaoh said this, he said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. Now Moses had a challenge in front of him. He did what God told him to do, and Pharaoh just flat out told him, no, we're not going to do this. You see, God has a plan, and he always does have a plan, and he's going to continue working that plan, and he's going to make it come to fruition, and he will answer our prayers. He will deliver us as we go here. So if we jump up to the story here to Exodus chapter 6. Then the Lord said to Moses, verse 1, then the Lord said to Moses, thou shalt see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand shall he shall let them go, and with a strong hand he shall drive them out of the land. This is God speaking to Moses here. And God spake unto Moses and said to him, I am the Lord. So, and through the midst of this, even though things looked impossible, like they couldn't possibly be come to fruition here, God kept talking to Moses. He kept telling him, it's okay, I got this, I'm going to deliver you. Just wait and see what I have in store for you. You will be amazed. And when this happens, God's going to open these doors for you. I'm going to open these doors for you. He says, and this is God speaking again, I appeared unto Abraham, and to Isaac, and to Jacob, and by the name of God Almighty, by my name Jehovah, was I not known to them. And I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein we were strangers. So God continues to promise him that there's a promised land waiting for his people. He continues to promise him that I will deliver you from the hand of the evil one. And God is continuing to work with his people today. The very same God that was speaking to Moses was the very one who went to Calvary, the one who John chapter 8 was arguing with the Pharisees, and he's the very same one who's going to deliver us when we come, when we're ready. Now, John, this is the verse, and somehow this has become an obsession. Now, I have to incorporate this verse into every sermon now. All these things happen unto them as examples that are written for admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. And so sometimes you can use that verse, you know, like, and all your Bible stories can be fall under that category, whether you're talking about David and Bathsheba, or you're talking about, you know, whoever, any of the Bible stories. But this one in particular, if you go back and read 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it says, now all these things, people were brought to the desert, and they were baptized into one. This specifically is talking about the Exodus, John. So if any Bible verse fits the Exodus, it's this one in particular, okay? And this was written for our admonition. This was written until the end of the ages have come. So that takes us up to Revelation chapter 13. Because there's a tie-in at the end, and this is where I was at. I was thinking, that the Exodus, there's some remarkable similarities between the Exodus, between the children of Israel, and the Exodus of God's people at the end of time. So there's a war going on, and Revelation 12 tells us that Satan was wroth with the woman, and he made war with the remnant of her seed, those who keep the commandments of God, and they have the testimony of Jesus, right? So there's a war going on, and Moses, you have the typology here where you have the Moses is the one who was he intimately knew God. He's the one who gave us the messages from God to us, to the people, right? And then you have Aaron, who was the one who was the priest, the one who was to officiate or was to present that message to the church, right? Or to the people. Hebrews tells us that we now are kings and we're priests before the Lord. We are to be the ones who carry that message. So what you have with Moses and Aaron is you have Jesus giving us that message from God the Father, giving it to Aaron. God's church is the one who's to present that message out to the world. And here you have in Revelation chapter 13, a war that's going on. I'd be so glad when it's over. Sin is a horrible thing. I can't even... Every day I have a war in my own head about just things that I should do and shouldn't do, and finding the strength to do that only comes from God and God alone. Ooh, I got to get better with my sword drills. Here we go. Revelation chapter 13. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon, and he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them that are which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. We're talking again about slavery. We're talking about worship. Well, this chapter ultimately ends in worship, right? On who the mark of the beast, and who's going to receive the mark of the beast, those who... either choose to follow the beast because they just don't want to fight, or the ones that choose to actually believe it, right? But there's a war going on. And he doth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on earth in the sight of men. It can do these great and wonderful things that can deceive people, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that they should dwell on earth. They should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And there is so much to unpack in that one right there. That's had a wound by the sword and did live. There's like 12-ish identifying marks on who the beast power is in the book of Revelation. But in the same way that Moses went to the people, in the same way that Moses went to, the message was to go out, the three angels' messages is first. I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven. They have the everlasting gospel to preach that them that dwell on the earth, that every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, to remember the Creator, right? And the second message was Babylon has fallen, has fallen. So that was Moses going to the people. Well, then he went to the Pharaoh and he said, "Let my people go." And the Pharaoh said, "No." Here you have a war going on where God's people were enslaved. They were put into this body of religion and gunk to take us, our eyes off of God, and to enslave us. So anything that doesn't follow the God of the Bible will enslave you. Okay. And God specifically sent his son to deliver us from that evil. And the message is to go out, to remember him who made the heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. God's people are going to pronounce that message to the enslaved to make the way for the Lord to come again. In verse 16, I'm going to jump down to verse 16 and verse 13 here, chapter 13. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark of the... Of his, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath wisdom understand. Count the number for the beast. It is the number of a man. His number is 666. And that's where that chapter ends. But does it? Because I don't believe that it does. If you read through some of the early church founders, Stephen Haskell in particular, he said that this chapter doesn't end there. In the canon of Scripture, there is no chapters, no verses, and no punctuations. Okay? And so that seemed like a good ending point. Our Bible translators did a really fantastic job along the years, except the effect maybe on this one here. Because when did God ever end the story of saying, and this is the beast, and his number is 666, and that the story stops? Repeat that loudly, John.
It always ends in hope.
Okay, so now let's back up here and let's go to Revelation 14. See, because the three angels' messages start with verse 6, don't they not? So what are these first five verses in Revelation? These little orphans that just don't have any home, right? They do have a home because they follow up with this beast power that's causing people to receive this mark. And it's over a forced worship, forcing us to stay away from God. This is how this story ends. And I looked and lo, this is 14 verse 1. And lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters, and the voice of great thunder, and I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung a new song as it were before the throne, before the four beasts and the elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000, which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which did not defile with women, for they are virgins. These were which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were the redeemed from among men, being the firstfruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they were without fault before the throne of God. God's stories always end with a message of hope. And God has set a pattern for us in the way that God has delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt. And if you go back and you read some of these... If you go back and read this a little bit. One more. There we go. Exodus chapter 5. And they said unto them, the Lord look upon you, the Lord judge you, because you have made our Savior to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh and the eyes of his servants, to put a sword in your hand to slay us. So when Moses put out this decree that let my people go, what happened? Pharaoh made it harder for him. Pharaoh, he cranked down the screws and just really made it tougher on God's people. And that's what Satan's going to do at the end of time. The more that we pronounce this word, the more that we share this word, the harder he's going to make it on us, because he cannot allow us to have the victory. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Lord, he said, what do I do? I'm stuck. Wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Why is it that thou hast sent me? For I came to the Pharaoh to speak in thy name. He hath done evil to the people, neither hast thou delivered thy people at all. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel. This is now, let's back up. I'm lost in my slides here. Here we go. He says, why have you sent me? For since the Pharaoh came to speak their name, he hath done evil. Lord, it's getting worse. It's getting darker. It's getting harder. What do I do? And this is what the Lord's response was. I am the Lord. And I will bring you out of under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will rid you. Moses was saying, you did this, and now they're coming after me, and they're all mad at me. And he says, I am the Lord. I will bring you out of under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rid you up from their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm with a great judgment. So even though things look impossible, God is in the business of impossible, and he's going to show you some mighty and wonderful things, and it's up to us to be faithful. You see, the people that went out were the people who put the blood on the doorposts. The people that went out were the ones who said, you know what? This doesn't look very good. I have no idea what's going on. But God said to do X, Y, Z, this, do this, this, and that. I'm going to do this, this, and that. And even though the whole world around me does look like it's impossible and this just can't be done, I'm going to follow him wherever he goes. God still does the impossible. And just like he delivered the children of Israel in that mighty thing, one of my favorite lines is says that when they crossed over the Red Sea, he says that they entered Egypt no more. Once they were delivered from Egypt, they didn't go back. They went out into the wilderness, they had some interesting times there, but they didn't go back. Once they were set free, they were free indeed. And that's the same for us. God is getting ready to come back in the clouds of glory. He's going to send us and take us home, and he's going to redeem us with a mighty hand. And all we have to do is just block out what the news is telling us, what the other religions of this world are telling us, and just focus on what's important. That's what's got. God is just, he's fair, and he knows what he's doing. The same God who spoke to Moses, his children of Israel, is speaking to us today. He didn't go anywhere. He is the great I am, and he is the great deliverer of our souls. And I pray that we never forget that. Let's have prayer. Father, we look forward to that day when you deliver us from this world of evil. Father, we look forward to that day when we're reunited with the family that we miss so dearly. And Father, we look forward to the day when the sin and the curse of this sin will be no more. And Father, though things look impossible around us, we lay out the hand of faith to you to lead us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.